Hello and welcome to the latest podcast from the Royal College of Nursing Research Forum. My name is Gordon Hill and I'm a senior lecturer at Glasgow Caledonian University and a member of the Research Forum Steering Committee. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Claire Sutton and Claire Pryor, and we will be discussing social care nursing and research in the sector. So, Claire, can I ask you to introduce yourself, please? Claire Sutton first, please.
Hi, I'm Claire Sutton. I'm the Head of Independent Health and Social Care at the Royal College of Nursing. So that is roughly about a third of RCN members don't work in the NHS. So if you think about all the nurses that work in independent hospitals, hospices, social care, general practice, basically if you look at your payslip and it doesn't have NHS on the top, you're one of mine, and I have got an amazing team of independent health and social care lead nurses who are based in each of the devolved nations and each of the England regions. So there's somebody for every single one of our members to link up with.
And whereabouts are you based?
So my base, I live in Southport, so in the northwest.
Okay.
But my role's UK-wide, so I cover the whole of the UK.
And I think that's one of the things I've noticed about the RCN is the roles are spread out around the country, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's really positive. And it means I get to work with brilliant colleagues from across the devolved nations and all of our regions as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Claire Pryor.
Yes, so my name's Claire Pryor. I'm the RCN Foundation, so the Independent Charities Professor for Adult Social Care Nursing. I'm a registered adult nurse by background, and I came into post in 2024 to start a programme of research around practice, policy and education to really give the voice of nurses working specifically in social care parity and recognition and really put them on the main stage in partnership with colleagues in the NHS and the wider health and social care sector.
Excellent, thank you. And can I ask you how you both ended up in the roles that you are? What's your career trajectory been?
I've never worked in the NHS, so I am the weird nurse who, when I first qualified, went straight into social care, and I've worked in independent hospitals, I've worked in software development, helping make sure that software that was used in social care was safe and usable and used. I worked in digital transformation, working for an organisation that represents not-for-profit social care providers. And so, bit of a confession. So when I wasn't looking for another job. I was really happy in the role I was in. And I'd always been quite critical of the RCN, like in a constructive way, that every time my renewal pack had come through, because I've been a member ever since I was a student, I'd look at it and I'd think, oh, you know, I don't work in the NHS. This doesn't resonate with me. You know, I'm reading this and it's like, you're not mentioning the places I work or the places I've worked. And then I saw that this role advertised in 2022, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to apply because this is the opportunity to be the change that I would like to see as a member. So I applied for it and got the role and started in August 2022.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I had a bit of an interesting journey as well. Like I said, I'm an adult nurse, so I trained in the early 2000s, and part of that education was a placement in a care home in my first year, and subsequently following that placement I got a job in the care home company. So I worked as a nursing support worker all the way through my training in this care home, and it was fantastic, really fulfilling, really wonderful, and really supported my understanding whilst I was going through my nurse education. I did what nurse education unfortunately does in the mainstay, and I thought that I had to get a job in an NHS trust when I qualified. Mm-hmm. So I got my first job in a medical assessment unit and worked there for about 4.5 years and then moved to critical care. So I was on this very standard kind of trajectory, moved to critical care and worked there for a few years, and then went out to the community as a junior sister in an intermediate care team based in people's own homes, and started to work really closely again with the local authorities, with the care providers, with the full plethora of nursing and AHP services in the community, working into different care settings and supporting hospital admission avoidance and supporting really good transitions of care from hospitals back into home-based care settings or supported care settings. And then I moved to be a nurse practitioner in a mental health trust. So I worked for a few years for a mental health trust as the older person, specialist nurse or advanced nurse practitioner, and started my PhD looking at delirium superimposed on dementia whilst I was in practice, and then got a job at Northumbria University leading frailty provision as a lecturer in adult nursing. So looking at undergrad and then looking at postgrad continuing professional development, like I said, leading on frailty, and was the subject expert for independent and supplementary prescribing for nurses and AHP, so the collective noun of non-medical prescribing, for all registrants other than medics that can go on and do prescribing. And that linked with advanced practice and then the specialist practice qualifications, and more recently looking at the accreditation and the validation with the partnership of the teams there around the social care side of the specialist practice qualification. And really fortunate to get the job with the RCN Foundation at Salford University as the first professor for adult social care nursing specifically, which is a wonderful, wonderful role, being able to really elevate the visibility of nurses working in social care, as pinholding registered nurses on the same level as every other registered nurse on the NMC register.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I think the more that you kind of have conversations with nurses, you realise how non-linear people's career pathways are.
Absolutely.
You know, and do you think that the perception that student nurses, when they complete, when become newly qualified nurses, that they need to go into medical or surgical placement straight off the bat, do you think that's changing?
No. So there's a cycle that comes around every few years where student nurses coming up to qualifying have a panic because there are not enough roles in the NHS. And we've seen this come up multiple times over the past couple of decades. And we're in that cycle again at the moment, that we've got lots of student nurses that are coming up qualifying, and there is this kind of collective panic of, there aren't enough jobs in the NHS, I'm not going to be able to get a job. So I think it is still very much in the mindset of our early careers nurses and our student nurses that they expect that they are going to go into an NHS role, and that's what they should do. And I think it would be wonderful to be able to say, yeah, that's all changing. And I think it will. I definitely think it will. I think we're probably making steps towards it because there's some great initiatives.
I think it is starting to change. So there's been quite a lot of work recently to move people's perceptions of where nursing is, to look at the whole workforce across the NHS and our independent health and social care structures. And we are seeing more innovative nursing placements come out, and we are seeing more a wider understanding of the role of nurses. And that is, it is a development, like you said, Claire. It is starting, and we are getting there. And we have pockets of really excellent work going on across the four nations, but it is very much specific to each individual AEI, so the approved education institutions. So there's not a standard across all of the different AEIs, and we have pockets of really excellent kind of promotion of these wider roles and areas where they're on that journey. But I think there has been a shift in the last year or so that the AEIs are recognising that they have to make that shift. And that leads into some of the research that I'm starting at the moment. So we are looking at all of the AEIs and scoping out where, specifically for my role, where social care nursing sits in undergrad education in the pedagogical approaches that they're taking. And that will be a predominantly qualitative piece of research to scope out the education setups, and then to go and do some case study analysis and to really map the four nations provision, just to get a level playing field of where we are in terms of providing that bigger lens on nursing careers.
Yeah.
So that is ongoing at the moment.
And my own perception is that there's still a long way to go, but that I think it is changing. And I think that the student nurses or newly qualified nurses, sometimes, sadly, they're having to go where the jobs are, you know, so that the choice is perhaps a bit more limited. But the perceptions about different roles that they can have, different jobs they can have, is a bit more plural than it used to be in the past, and certainly that's what I hope.
I hope that next time we find ourselves in this inevitable cycle, because it does keep cropping up, it will be a very, very different approach. I do think it is, it's changing, but it's not a quick change, because I think it's changing the culture of a profession, and it's changing the kind of mindset about the opportunities, particularly for early careers nurses. I think when people are quite established, there's much more understanding about where being a nurse can take you. But if you're just coming up to qualifying, I think it's still...
And that's up to us to make sure that we get that visibility right from day one in recruitment material, even before people get on the nursing courses, in that recruitment material, in all of the media that goes out, and then have it put throughout the whole curriculum so it's not something new at the end. It should be woven throughout the whole course structure. And I think we are starting to see that happening, or starting to see that drive towards that. Because these things do take time, like you said, but we have to be the change and make that really visible in the curriculums.
So thinking about the integration of the independent health and social care sector with the NHS and with hospitals, etc., can you give us an impression about what you think works and where the developments are still needed?
So I think it links in with the 10-year plan and the move towards neighbourhood models. So we have excellent pockets where there is full integration. But again, it is regional, and it is kind of place-based variation. And I think there is real scope when we're looking at how neighbourhood models of care are going to roll out to make sure that the independent and social care nurses are equally around the table, being able to show the value of what they can do, advance the careers in terms of going through specialist practice or advanced practice to prevent unrequired hospital admissions, because sometimes people do actually need that level of care. But actually to keep people in the place that they call their home, with the nurses and with the support staff that know them exceptionally well, and to be able to facilitate the mobilisation of that excellent nurse and care workforce to be able to deliver the care that they are capable of delivering to keep people in place. And that inevitably builds the neighbourhood model and strengthens it in terms of partnerships with GP practices, with intermediate care, the hospital at home services, and will support all of the whole ecosystem of health and social care better.
I think there's a lot that government, Department of Health and Social Care, because let's not forget it is health and social care, and NHS England can learn from the devolved nations as well. I think in terms of that integration of health and social care, the 10-year plan has got some really great visions. But I think it's really important to remember it's only applicable to England. And actually, there's a lot of these models, a lot of these things are already kind of in place in some of our devolved nations. And I think we need to be much more kind of collective and collaborative across the borders to be able to kind of learn from one another.
Mm-hmm. And is that the scoping project, the research you were talking about, is that based in higher education institutes, or is that finding out about the infrastructure as well?
So the work that we are commencing is a scoping piece of work to request participation from every single AEI that runs a nursing and midwifery approved undergraduate programme of study. So every single one of the NMC approved educational units that are educating people to become qualified nurses. So it will cover every single Crown Sovereignty, all of the devolved nations, to look at where, how, why, what student nurses are being taught in relation to social care and the wider integrated kind of health and social care context.
Well, that'll be really interesting to see what the similarities and the differences are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not about saying what's right, what's wrong. It's about getting a state-of-the-art, the level playing field, and really being able to understand the scope. And then from that, look at the strategies and look at the centres of excellence, look at the places where potentially they are having challenges, and then secondary, go and explore why there are potential challenges and understand the context of of how to support to enhance the offer that they have.
Within the context of independent health and social care, can you tell the listeners about nurse-led research or research opportunities that are in within the sector that perhaps people who are listening could get involved in the future?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think there are so many opportunities that are open to nurses regardless of where they work. So I think a lot of people assume that in order to be able to get involved in nurse-led research, you have to be in a very academic role, and that's really not the case. So there's, as we spoke about, that kind of variety of career, there are loads of research roles that are available within the independent sector. So lots of big charities will employ nurses that are working in research. Some of the big social care employers will employ specific nurses to work in research. But there's also lots of grants that can be applied for by individuals who are wanting to undertake research projects themselves. And some of these are open to very specific groups, and some of them have got a much wider call. So, for example, NIHR, the National Institute for Health and Care Research, they've got specific grants, and as I say, some of them quite a narrow area of focus, some of them much, much wider. But I'd really encourage nurses, wherever they work across independent health and social care within the NHS, to go and seek out these opportunities, because it doesn't have to be this big, scary process to think, oh, well, I'm not an academic, so I can't do research. When really there's so much opportunity out there to engage with it. And you can start quite small. It can be a case of just engaging with existing research. You know, nurses, you all work in an evidence-based profession. Just by engaging with published research, you are starting that very, very first step of being a part of it. When you get sent, you know, questionnaires out from people who are undertaking research, engage in them. Undertake them, you know, join the focus groups, do the things that engage with that process of what research is, because once you get in it, you'll realise just how amazing it can be.
Mm. I think that's right. I mean, like you said, the NIHR has got the Research Programme for Social Care Research, which is specific pots of cash, and they run researcher-led calls, but then they also have kind of area-specific calls. And it might be that you work in an organisation, you've got research background yourself, and naturally you want to put yourself down as the PI on one of the, so the principal investigator, the research lead, on one of their calls where they specifically ask, especially for nurses or AHPs, to put themselves forward, and you build a team around you to give you mentorship. But it might be that you want to, like Claire said, the other Claire said, this is going to be confusing, well, isn't
at least, it? At least my name's not clear.
The poor listeners.
It might be actually that you're an early stage research nurse or a nurse who's interested in more formal research, and you want to join a stakeholder group for a study that's going on. So participate in research, not necessarily by being a participant in inverted commas, but getting on a steering group. Mm-hmm. Being one of the people who helps influence the methodology or the way that the study is designed, maybe do some public engagement activity around it and inform the research process before the grant's actually written. So help with the design, help with the setup, help with the location, and then dip your toe in the water and hear about the different methodological approaches, hear about the different methods, hear about how we analyse data. And also there's quite a lot of career development opportunities and grants for nurses specifically to have paid training in elements of research. And like Claire said, research can seem quite big and scary. It's just asking questions, finding out information, doing something with that information that makes it make sense, and then sharing it with people. That is, whatever research process happens, that's the main thing. It's questions, information, answers, giving it to the people. And that is the research process. So I think it's about finding something that really interests you and then go hunting for people who can fund your research study. Do you need to go on some CPD, some education? or just getting in amongst the people doing research and listening to the conversations.
Yeah, and I think there's lots that you can, if you're looking at thinking about funding, just Google, you know, independent health and social care research funding.
Absolutely.
And because there'll be lots of, the RCN Foundation have small grants as well that you can...
They have quite some large grants as well. So if you go on the RCN Foundation website, they have a whole tab on grants, which have the live ones, they do education grants, they do research grants, they do project grants. So there's lots there. And then the RCN, the Royal College of Nursing, have different funding pathways. But then... don't just look at the standards, look at those big search engines, because there are lots of different organisations and charities, and also your local ICB. Approach them. Integrated Care Board in England, or your local board across the devolved nations might have pots of cash for different projects. And because we call it research, it might be research, as in generating new knowledge through an ethical kind of ethics process. But actually, you might want to start in something like service improvement or audit to cut your teeth and really start thinking about evidence and data, and then springboard onto bigger R research almost.
Yeah. We do have on the RCN, on the Royal College of Nursing website, a list of different organisations that offer grants and funding available. But you're absolutely right. Google it, because I'm not saying that our list is 100% up to date or perfect. Like, we will add things as and when they become available. But there are so many things out there. There's so many massive charities that do offer grants of various sizes. And some of them are, and they're not insignificant amounts of money that might be available.
And like Claire said before, different care organisations, some of them have very significant research and development teams within them. So it's worth going and having the question. And even if you can't find something which funds what you want to do, go and ask somebody.
Yeah.
Knock on people's doors and justify why it's important and why there's a gap there. And then see if they can either support you or signpost you.
Yeah. And I think within the, some of the organisations, there'll be research infrastructure that you can learn about the process as
well. Absolutely.
You know, so whether that's an internal ethics committee, whether that's a research governance kind of processes, then ask the question, because often people will be really enthusiastic to tell you about what's happening, you know.
And another really good thing to do, especially if you're a nurse in practice and you've got an idea that's absolutely set your heart on fire and you need to do it, call your local university.
Mm-hmm.
Get in touch with the research centre or the nursing midwifery department, whatever it is, at your local university and say, I've got this fantastic idea, please help me. And they will connect you with the right people, and they can support you with ethics training, and there's obviously governance around that. But the universities are desperate to hear the real world problems and thoughts and ideas from the sector, and I can guarantee that there will be somebody thinking along the same lines as you, just desperate for a shop floor nurse or an organisation to come to them with the idea, and they'll be able to wrap all of that infrastructure around you.
I think one thing that not a lot of people are really aware of is you can be a member of as many RCN fora as you want. So you can only choose one to be your voting forum. So all the members of the research forum, that will be your primary, your main forum. But you can go and join any other forum you want to as a secondary forum. You can join them all if you want. And that will then get you access to the things that are being talked about in some of the other forums. So what I would say is to the members of the research forum, nursing colleagues that you're working with, tell them that, because they can then join the research forum and learn more from nurses who are really passionate about research. And that's just, it's another nice, friendly way of dipping your toe into something that might be a big unknown for you. But, you know, it's a really great group of people to be able to share that information.
Yeah. I think sometimes the unknown bits are where the exciting bits are as well. You know, you can really open up your eyes to things that you perhaps didn't consider in the past. So, and actually on that, some of the people who are listening, they'll be hear your enthusiasm for the independent health and social care sector. So if someone is interested in becoming a nurse in the sector, What advice would you give them? Where would they look? How would they start that process?
I mean, I think, that's a really big question. Thanks for that. There's loads of different places. Like, nursing is the most varied career you can possibly imagine. Nurses get everywhere. There are nurses on cruise ships. There are nurses that work in the occupational health departments of supermarkets. If you think about it, they employ a nurse. Mm-hmm. So don't kind of limit your possibilities. If there is an area that you are interested in, then you can pursue a nursing career in that. And I know we hear so much about nurses experiencing burnout and wanting to no longer be nurses and leave the register. And I would absolutely implore any nurses that are thinking about that to just, it is the most amazing career. There are so many different opportunities out there that you can go into outside of that kind of frontline clinical nursing that might be what your background is or what your expectations of nursing as a career is. Where you'd go to look for roles, that in itself is really tricky because in the NHS it's dead easy. You just go on NHS jobs, don't you? And social care.
I would go and speak to the Queen's Institute of Community Nursing because they've just established their new Faculty of Adult Social Care Nursing. Wow. And they have the Adult Social Care Nursing Network. So I would look at them, and there's Queen's Institute of Nursing in Scotland as well. So I would go and have a look at their information, get in touch. They've got contact details. Have a conversation with them. But also, look at your social care in England, the Social Care Nurse Advisory Councils. So there are 7 in England different councils of social care nurses who are the leaders for their region, and they'll be able to put you in the right direction. It is difficult because there's about 18,000 different organisations, I think it is, in social care, and it is hard to look at all of the job opportunities because they are independent companies. But people like the QICN, QIS and Skills for Care will help at least signpost you. Or again, Google.
Yeah.
Other search engines are available. but do an internet search. And you can have the jobs and the roles are really vast. So you will have your standard direct person-facing care provision role. But actually, there are lots of management opportunities. There's lots of kind of senior nurse opportunities, developmental opportunities. Some of the care organisations have education and training specific roles. Some of them have, like we said, fully fledged research department roles. So there is something for every vein of nursing. And nursing isn't just direct person-facing context. It is your brain and your critical analytical processes and whatever you need to draw on your core nursing knowledge to do, whether that's management, rota, working with CQC, regulatory quality and excellence roles, that is all part of nursing and absolutely is all a revalidation worthy job. So you don't have to lay hands on people in order to maintain your NMC registration. And they're very, very open about it. It's whether you are drawing on your core nursing knowledge that makes you a nurse.
Yeah, you
can also get in touch with my team. So if you send us an email, really easy email address, ihsc@rcn.org.uk, just let us know whereabouts in the country you are, and I will make sure that that email gets to your country or regional lead nurse, and they can have a talk to you, they can have a conversation with you about the amazing opportunities that are out there across not just social care, but the wider independent sector as well.
I mean, on that, I mean, can you tell us more about the team in the RCN? What's the role of the team? What's the scope? What sort of things do you get involved in?
So the team is made up, it's 13 people across 12 full-time positions. So they are full-time roles based in Scotland, Northern Ireland, Wales, and then each of the 9 England regions. The team all come from different backgrounds across independent health and social care. So we've got experience in so many different areas. So we've got member of the team who was general practice nurse for many years prior to joining the team. We've got one who was a nurse lecturer at a university. We've got one who was a senior CQC inspector. We've got ones that have worked in like pre-nursing education. We've got colleagues that have worked in quality improvement. Such a vast variety of knowledge and really great backgrounds. And we sit sort of within the professional body side of the RCN, so the RCN being both a trade union and a professional body, so we sit under the professional practice body. And we offer that kind of IHSC, independent health and social care, perspective, working with colleagues from across all different departments and teams as well. So we work really closely with policy, we work really closely with the individual countries and their regional structures as well, work with colleagues from trade union function. Each of the lead nurses is linked in with particular forums as well, so they can provide that IHSC perspective to the professional leads and the steering committees of the forums to help them to be as inclusive as possible to the in circa 30% of members that we've got that don't work in the NHS. So Michelle Raddings is the regional lead nurse who's linked in with the research forum, and her region is Yorkshire and Humber, but because she's got that link in with the research forum, she still works with members of the research forum regardless of where they are in the country. So it's quite a matrix way of working, covering lots of different areas, but they're an amazing team.
Yeah, and I have to say that the input that Michelle provides within the research forum steering committee, it really helps to contextualise the independent health and social care with research within the wider context of research. So no, it's fabulous, and I think that's a really important message to all the forums within. I never know what forums or fora within the RCN. Just at how integrated health, independent health and social care is within the work that we do, I guess. So we're drawn towards the end of the podcast now, but I was wondering if you had, I was going to say three key messages, but if you have key messages for the listeners, what would those be?
So I think my messages would be to become engaged in research and not to be scared about it. The kind of research I do is, at the moment, predominantly qualitative and scoping research. And I think that's very accessible because it's hearing people's experiences. It's very conversational. It's not, when we think of research, sometimes we think about really big randomised control trials, lots of statistics, lots of really complicated tests and maths, which does come when we're thinking about health economics. But actually, if you're thinking about research for where you work, it might be something like a qualitative thematic analysis. It might be narrative. It might be observational research, or it might be an ethnography. So it can be very tangible and very relatable. And then if you are really interested in kind of cost-benefit and effect, you might want to dip your toes into some more of the quantitative, so some more of the numerical and kind of big-scale maths and the RCTs. Mm-hmm. But it is a journey, and everybody started somewhere. Yeah. You know, it's not something to be put on a pedestal. It's just another learning journey to go on, like everything that you've done in your nursing career. And like Claire said before, we're all using evidence, and evidence comes from research.
Yeah.
So recognising that you're fully immersed in it, whether you know it or not. So I would say, be brave, make contact with people, and think about what your questions are and who's going to help you find the answers.
How on earth do you follow that? I think very, very much the same vibe. I think for me, it's about if you are a nurse who is interested in research, or maybe you haven't thought about research, speak to those colleagues that are already engaging in that research. Take a look at what's going on in the research forum. engage with research. You are doing it day in, day out, whether you realise it or not. But actually, there's loads of different ways that you can get involved in that and providing your voice into existing research. That's dipping your toe. That's paddling. You might not be swimming across the ocean yet, but everybody's got to take those little steps. And I think my kind of message is, if you are already working in research, if you're already a research nurse, be more outward facing and welcome in nurses who maybe are afraid of research. They don't know what it is. Be kind of really welcoming to them, particularly our early careers nurses. You know, they are the future of our profession, and they might not know yet where their areas of passion really are. And you, as research specialists, have the most in-depth areas of passion and areas of interest. And you are the people who can speak most passionately about those areas. And that passion does bring people along.
Well, I can't help but think both of you are really passionate about the work that you do and really passionate about the independent health and social care sector and the research possibilities within the sector as well. So it kind of falls to me just to say thank you very much both for participating, and thank you very much everyone for listening.